Hey everybody, it's Carlos Danger of the Mobile Horror Companion. Listen, we've been doing this every couple of weeks now. This, what you're going to hear now, this episode is stuff that didn't make it into our last episode. And our last episode, basically Brian Spears and myself went through some YouTube videos from at least a decade ago showing Brian in the film Shadow Dead Riot and then some adventures we had at Monster Mania Connecticut. Back in the day, Monster Mania is a Philadelphia-based, area-based horror con, and it came once to Connecticut. So there's some video from that. And then we posted video from the very last Fangoria Weekend of Horrors with Creation Entertainment at the Jacob Javits Convention Center. All right, why am I repeating all that? I don't know. But at the end of that episode, Brian and I just talked about some stuff we've been watching lately. And it's only 15 minutes. I go off a little bit at the beginning about Search Party. That's kind of boring. But then we talk about some podcasts that you might have missed, specifically involving like Bobby Lee, Doug Stanhope, some really good stuff lately. So I think it's a half-decent conversation. I forgot that we recorded it, but here is sort of a bonus or director's cut or I don't know what you want to call it of the Mobile Horror Companion. Thank you. God bless. Now I got to press... Let me see. I got a new phone. Pause.
Hi, this is Stuttering John Melendez from the Howard Stern Show. And for some really stupid reason, you're listening to the Mobile Horror Companion. Great name for a podcast, morons.
Let's give it a shot.
What do you say to Americans who are upset with you over the way you downplayed this crisis over the last couple of months? We have it very much under control in this country. The coronavirus is very much under control in the USA. It's going to disappear. It's like a miracle. It will disappear. At March 4th, we have a very small number of people in this country infected. March 10th, we're prepared. We're doing a great job with it. It will go away. Just stay calm. It will go away. What do you say to Americans who believe?
Perfectly fine Mobile Horror Companion. If those of you that are into podcasts like to listen to that kind of stuff.
Anyway, hey, you know what I've been watching? Just to real quickly, we did a What You're Watching special episode a week ago. And I watched Search Party, which is on like FX, and it's the actress from Arrested.
Did some work on that.
Oh, no kidding. Okay. Like the it's like in its fourth or fifth season. It's one of those shows.
I did whatever season she gets interrogated.
Or she gets held captive. That's the whole season.
I don't know. But all I know is I made these pictures of a dead body that someone's supposed to be showing pictures of.
Oh, no kidding.
Maybe it was in the third season.
Oh, that's wild. Yeah, I don't remember exactly. It's a good show.
Yeah,
I mean,
I worked on it. I did a bunch of things in the first two seasons.
Yeah, it's very funny the first couple of seasons, and it gets like progressively darker.
The blonde dude who gets bald, he like pulls out his hair.
Oh, right. Okay.
I put that on all the time.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. Small freaking world. It goes off, but anyway, I watched that. It goes off the rails by like this latest season. I think it was the series finale. I'm not really sure, but first couple of seasons are good, and then it's Dexter like Walking Dead like in how far off.
Oh, all right.
It gets a little crazy, but yeah, Search Party. I guess I'm the last to that party because
I am watching or listening to tons and tons of Marc Maron podcasts. I mean, you recommended a million of them a long time ago, but I just got around to, and that's why when Boogie Nights came up earlier, I listened to Paul Thomas. I could listen to that guy talk movies like for 5 days. Cause unlike Tarantino probably watches movies similar to what I would rather watch, but Paul Thomas Anderson he makes some art. You had mentioned it in a message. Bobby Lee had
Carlos Mencia. Yeah.
I didn't watch the whole interview. I mainly watched when he talked about his controversy. But for like the last day and a half, when I'm not looking up all the pedophiles Nickelodeon hired, I am listening to Tiger Belly podcasts or whatever they are, video casts, whatever. Like,
they're both. Yeah, they do the video version, and then you can get the audio. It's a good podcast.
Really good podcast when he has somebody fun on.
Yeah, there's some episodes where they're just like, oh, I don't know what they're talking about. And actually, with the pandemic, because they haven't been able to have guests on.
But he had Bill Burr on.
Yeah, and that was good. That was good. Yeah. But that Carlos Mencia one, I actually started like Googling like for reaction, because it's sort of, I guess the media is so fractured now and there's so much more important things going on in the world. But like, that is an insane interview. Like, Carlos Mencia is,
think it's not news anymore. You know what I'm trying to say? Like,
I feel like it would have been, you know, like, I don't know. Nobody really covers that stuff anymore. There's no entertainment beat where it was like Carlos Mencia. Yeah, I don't know. Because, like, yeah, Bobby Lee was directly involved in that infamous video from back in the day with Joe Rogan and all that. But Mencia is just so delusional.
But
painful.
He's right before that period of time in comedy where, like, you know, you had a sitcom back then. Now you have a podcast.
Yeah.
So like he got out, like, that's the other thing. Like, what's so weird about that is he's wrong. I mean, at least I think he is, you know, I don't believe anything. And it's like, Bobby Lee is like, no, I watched you rip somebody off. Just say you're sorry and it'll all be fine.
And
he won't say he's sorry.
And it's been like 14 years and he's just so convoluted. And it's just, it's very cringy, and it's like, it's sad and painful to watch Carlos Mencia try to like justify or explain. It's tough.
And
it's
tough when he tries to explain, he digs like a bigger tunnel. Because then it's all because people didn't like him because he kind of put on a persona. Listen, I mean, I think it's pretty standard. 90% of comedians put a little bit of a, you know, they're a little, you know, their acting themselves are not 100%, you know, real all the time. But like, he seems to be like, oh, that's why people don't like me. That's why, you know, it's like, you stole a joke.
Yeah, there's enough evidence out there. And then he's got the whole thing where I've recorded every joke I've ever said since 1990. It's like, what? Well, you're just, the whole thing was crazy. I'm surprised that, yeah, it's not like there's not news of it. There's not more people. Even when you search YouTube, the only guys that are reacting to it are like, you know, that guy who does all the Howard Stern reaction stuff. And he kind of always just posts sage. He was on Stuttering John.
That talks like this kind of, I think.
No. It's somebody, we've watched him.
Okay.
I don't know. But if there's nobody, there's no like, you know, there's no. Oh my God! Did you see Carlos Mencia? It's insane. Yeah, it just hasn't happened. But whatever. People should go watch that. And yeah, the first 30 minutes are like, the only thing that matters is when he Bobby Lee talks to him about joke thievery, and just listening to Carlos Mencia try to like squirm and dodge and just make all these. His logic is just, I didn't get it at all. I don't think anybody does.
Well, no. I mean, again. I don't know that much about stand-up comedy or comedy in general. I mean, I know people, you know, I know certain people, but you know, Bobby Lee says he ripped off Bill Cosby joke.
Yeah.
And it's like even I know, like, I mean, I don't know any kid my age that didn't at least have one Bill Cosby album and back, and he would be before us. Like, Bill Cosby was kind of a living legend in the comedy era.
And there was a time there where Bill Cosby himself was like the only thing on HBO, it felt like. I felt like every day I came home from fifth grade and HBO would be playing Bill Cosby himself. So to like take from that is just so bizarre.
And like across the board, like Bill Cosby, you know, it wasn't, you know, whites, blacks, Latino, like everyone, like it wasn't like you, Dr. if you Huxtable. Were black, you listen to that. You know what I mean? No, he was literally, he was around the world.
Yeah, he was the Michael Jackson of comedy. That joke
is bullshit. But
yeah,
real quick, Bill Burr is really good in King of Staten Island.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He's good. It's like I like that movie. It's kind of, you know,
I think it's a flawed movie. I think it's not perfect. I think it's about 25 minutes too long, and maybe that there's too much plot there. But goddamn, I really like that movie. I thought it was, and endearing.
Yeah.
And yeah, I really, a good movie. For some reason, I like, and maybe it's just because it's so personally about
that dude,
Pete Davidson, or gives like some humanity to the kid. Like, it was really, I mean, I won't lie, man, I freaking cried when you know, what's his name? Mr. Pink.
Oh, Buscemi starts.
Yeah, like, just, I mean, again.
It wait, wait, weird... when he started telling stories about how his father was a cokehead? What do you mean?
Well, just talks about how his dad would have been, you know, the first one in.
Oh, his dad was a real hero. Yeah, just couldn't help, like, the way he was. He was just, yeah.
But yes, and then it turns into the funny coke story, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah. So and which is true. I mean, according to like that guy's stand-up, that's what Pete Davidson experienced. He got older, they would talk about his, like, you know, this legend in his mind because he was so young when he died. And then he was like, oh, yeah, he was a total, like, coke fiend. Or not a fiend, but, you know, he was definitely a crazy partier. So, yeah, I like that movie. Judd Apatow, you know, his movies, you know, he's made some definite classics, and then he's made some that are like, I don't know, they're like increasingly whiny, and this walks the line.
You know, walks between, the line. Like, yeah. I do think they needed another edit, and I think it would have been a better film. You know, because you could definitely tell they were like putting in Pete Davidson's comedy, you know, and his.
It's like, it's basically his act. It's his last special. Yeah,
that's it. Was literally his act coming to life, which I think was fine. Then they tried to add some other stuff that, but Bill Burr was surprisingly, like, you know, kind of
Bill
good.
Burr acts. Yeah, he definitely, yeah, he's pretty good. So I also, the one last thing, like, I got lost in a YouTube wormhole of Patrice O'Neill on Tough Crowd with Colin Quinn.
And oh my God, I watched a bunch of those 3 weeks ago.
Jeez. Yeah, it's hard to believe that was like in this day and age, because I never watched Tough Crowd, but it's amazing that stuff was on TV. And that dude was like, holy, like, I mean, that guy could eviscerate anybody. He
Patrice
didn't care.
O'Neill arguing with, like, the Geraldo guy.
Craig Giraldo or Kevin Hart, before anybody knew who Kevin Hart was, he would just tear him down. Like, yeah, that guy. I mean, I used to listen to Patrice O'Neill on the ONA show. As probably anybody who knows who Patrice O'Neill is, probably that's most likely where you first heard him. And I'm in that group. But yeah, dude, that guy was funny. That guy was viciously funny.
I'm watching. Well, there's been some Tiger Bellies, and then there's is it Kevin Brennan or Brenna? His brother's famous.
Dude, Kevin Brennan. Yeah, when he talks about Jay Moore with
I've been listening to that, and they had Doug Stanhope talking
with
about
Doug
Jay
Stanhope.
Moore.
Yeah, I saw that too. Oh, oh. It's brutal. And Bert Kreischer. That's right. I follow that guy on Twitter, man. Brennan 666.
For legal reasons, we can't even say what they're saying because I don't know how inflammatory. I don't know what's real or not, but holy crap.
Yeah, that
but
is.
But then I did watch it, made me go watch it. Jay Moore, Timothy Oliphant, Michael Rappaport, and David Milch on Dinner for Five with Jon Favreau.
Oh, no kidding. I'll have to
and
track
Jay
that
Moore
down.
Is a complete jerk. And like Timothy Oliphant's Mr. Cool, and like kind of there just to tell David Milch to tell stories. And Michael Rappaport is not the Michael Rappaport I know today.
Not that loud, brash psycho.
He's still a little brash, maybe not as psycho, and more like, you know, or at least he knew his place at the table, where I thought Jay Moore was the jerk.
Oh, no. Oh,
you got to watch it, because Jay Moore comes off kind of like, hey, you know, you're a little bit of a, but it turns out, I didn't know this, Timothy Oliphant was like into stand-up comedy for a little while. So,
oh,
like,
no kidding.
He like hung out with Jay Moore, Sarah Silverman, like that New York comedy crowd for a while. So I guess he was really good friends with Jay Moore at the time. So that's like, awesome. It was just, you know, and it's good. Any good interview with David Milch is really good.
And I feel bad for Jay Moore, though. He takes a beating in some of those recent podcasts. I used to listen to his podcast. It was a good podcast, but then like he got divorced and the whole podcast sort of fell off. His book, Gasping for Air, his time on SNL is pretty good. But now I think like, based on what all these other people are saying, I don't even know if any of it's true. But anyway, that's that. Let's call it a night.
All right, man. I will talk to you.
All right. Talk to you later.
Later.